School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time.
Hey friends, welcome to this month's episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name is Justin Deering, and I'm excited for you to hear this conversation today. Before we get into today's content, I want to remind you that Aaron and I will be taking a little break over the holidays to relax and recharge for the second half of this season. This will be our final episode of 2021. Aaron will be back on January 15th with another outstanding interview. Today's conversation is with Jake Sturgis, APR, the founder of Captivate Media. Jake and his team are doing some very important work in the student voice and equity arena. I hope you enjoy today's show on a very important and timely topic. I know I took a ton of notes during this one. Well, Jake Sturgis, thank you so much for being here, especially on a holiday week. I know we talked a little bit leading up to the show, and you've had hockey tournaments, all kinds of things going on. So I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule during this week to come on and hang out with me and chat a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've, long time listener, first time caller here, and excited to get into it here today.
Well, I will tell you, and I said it in the intro, you're one of the people that I keep my eye on because I think you have your thumb on trends and things that you're seeing. So, you know, again, I've said it every episode, me and Aaron really were strategic about who we wanted to talk to this season. And we had a list of folks. You were on it because just the energy and the what you bring to school PR and how you help everybody out. So we appreciate what you are doing and your group is doing to help us tell our stories and just, you know, continue to do the important work.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many good stories out there. And I think part of like one of the issues right now is that everybody's just so busy and been working in crisis mode for what, close to 18 months now. And it's hard to figure out, it's hard to get out of that crisis mode, right?
Absolutely.
And to be strategic, to be forward thinking, and to figure out, okay, what kind of stories are going to resonate with my community and help move some of those things forward for my district. And that's what we've been trying to do to help some of our school clients.
Well, we appreciate it. And, you know, as always on this show, we always want to hear your story first. So I'd love if you tell me about your journey through school PR and obviously, you know, the Captivate Media origin story, how that got started, and just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was little, I wanted to be a television news anchor when I grew up. And I went to school for that. I was a producer for a television newscast in Duluth, Minnesota when I was going to college, and thought that, all right, this is perfect. This is going to be my stepping stone to get into news. I'll be a producer, then I'm going to make my way up to reporter, and then I'll eventually be an anchor. And by the time my senior year rolled around, I realized that TV news wasn't what I wanted it to be. I thought it was going to be something new and different every day. And while the stories were the kind of the placeholders, and especially as a producer, when you're stacking a show, you've got something going on locally at City Hall. You've got maybe some sort of crime story. You've got something going on nationally, and your weather, sports, and something with cute puppies at the end of the show. And it just kind of got to be this formula. And I saw the people around me that were working on air, and their family lives weren't great, and the hours were terrible. And I'm like, this isn't what I want to do the rest of my life. And I moved back to the Twin Cities area, which is where I'm from in Minnesota. And I applied for a job with a school district doing video. And I thought this would be perfect. I love doing video. And I had done some stuff like with church camps and stuff and mentoring kids and being a counselor and that sort of stuff. And thought this was a perfect match. And it was. And I worked 3 years for this one district just outside of Minneapolis. and then moved to another district and spent almost 10 years there working in school PR. And that's really where I got my taste of, I guess, the bigger picture. When I started doing things, I had no idea that there's this whole community and this conference and this ENSPRA and MINSPRA, which I'm a part of. And it's been an incredible journey, and kind of through this meeting so many people and the community that's here. And as I was working in schools, people were asking me about video and asking me to do some stuff on the side for their school districts. And I was like, there's got to be something here in terms of business. And I saw some of the stuff that other districts are putting out. And honestly, it looked like a third grader was shooting and editing their videos, which is, it's tough when you're doing videos for enrollment, or you're doing a video for a referendum, or TRE, as you guys call them in Texas, that you've got to put your best foot forward. And if it looks like a third grader just edited this video and you're asking for millions of dollars, like, that's not a great look. So really wanted to be able to partner with schools, to be able to come in, help with some of their visual storytelling, and to help them solve complex issues and problems. And that's what we've been able to do. I started the business Captivate Media about 8 years ago, and started just me. And now we've got a crew of about 10 people who are all working on content really for schools. We primarily serve schools and then companies that serve the education industry with our work. So it's been quite a ride, and I love what I do. It doesn't feel like work, as cliche as that sounds.
And that's what we all want, right? I mean, that's what I know. And I think we have very similar stories. Just listening to you say that, I worked in news before I became a teacher. And then I got hired as the video guy for my first district. I actually replaced the guy who taught me video production in high school. He was the video guy for the district, and he promoted and moved on, and I got his position.
And that's cool.
Yeah, so it was really, I followed his path. Like, he went, when he moved, I took his classroom. When he went to admin and left and went to a different district, I took his admin spot. And then I said I'd never leave that district. And then, because he was driving 45 minutes to another district, then 3 years later, I was in a district driving 50 minutes. So I really followed his path. But, I mean, we have very similar stories. I was in news as well and hated it, because it was, just like you said, it was a formula and nothing. I mean, it was different but the same every day, and just didn't feel like that's what I was supposed to be doing. But I will tell you, like, one thing that, and the topic we're going to talk today about is student voice and equity and the work you've been doing for that. We talked a little bit before we hit record. I was a video production teacher for 7 years before I went into school PR, and I never put stipulations on videos. And during that time, I got a lot of stories from my students that just showed some pain from education or just from life in general. And they were telling their stories through these fake characters, but they were really telling their own stories. And it made me be a better teacher, because I kind of learned a little bit about them. And that's why, as I've been like reading and following along with the voice framework that you've been doing, I think it's really important work that you're doing and that your group is doing. And I think it'd be great to spend some time talking about that, how you got there, what the plan is, what you hope happens from this, and just kind of have an authentic conversation, kind of like we did before we even hit start on recording. We talked for 15 minutes just on that topic and what you're seeing and what you're hoping that this framework that you've put together does for schools around the country.
Yeah, the Voices framework, I mean, this work is the most meaningful work I've ever done in my career. And it's such an honor for me when I'm on set and talking to students. I shouldn't even call it on set. I mean, we're talking in classrooms and we're talking in media centers or different places that they're comfortable with within their school. But this all started, it was shortly after the unrest that took place in Ferguson, Missouri, which I think was either 2014 or 2015. And we were working with a school district that the students were really eager to have their voices heard, and they wanted to start talking about race and equity, but their staff wasn't there yet. Primarily white district, primarily white staff. And there was a group of students who were really, they really wanted to have their voices heard, and understandably. And we worked with the school district to develop what we've now developed to be the Voices framework, which is really at the core of this. It's using student voice to transform adult mindsets. which I think in schools can be some of the hardest work to do, right? Because teachers and people who have been around a while, you kind of get your mind set on things. And you kind of start to group people together, and you don't always get to know all of your individual students, and it's that's hard work. But what we have found is when we're able to talk with students, ask them lots of questions about their school experience, both good and bad, we're able to connect with educators at an emotional level. And so much professional development right now for staff goes, it's data, it's statistics, it's numbers, which is all really important stuff, but it kind of hits you at the head level in terms of impact. And we believe if we start at the heart through stories, and just really authentic interviews with student and student voice, that we can start at the heart level. And when we start at the heart, minds and mindsets, then we have found change. And when you start to hear about students, maybe you don't know why this student in first hour is consistently late, and you can put stories in your head and think, well, they're just too lazy to get up on time. I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt if they can't even make it to my class on time. When you start to hear stories and educators start to get that empathy, and they hear that mom and dad, maybe mom's sick at home, and there's transportation issues, there's different barriers that are in place that make it near impossible for that student to get to class on time, that educator and their mindset many times changes into an attitude of, now more of, what can I do to help this student? Can you come in during lunch? You know, is there a time that I can help you get caught up? And going from, I'm not going to give you an inch, I'm going to do whatever I can to kind of make your life difficult, to understanding and changing mindsets and the way that that relationship is, can make all the difference. And that's one of the themes that we hear really with every school that we work with, is about relationships and the importance of relationships. And you can have the most culturally responsive curriculum in place for your school district, but if there's not relationships behind that, and the with teachers and students and other educators in the building, that curriculum, it's not as impactful or effective. And you've got to have relationships with trust, and you've got to make sure that students feel safe and welcome. And that's part of the work that we're doing with the Voices Framework, is just making sure that, trying to make sure that people know the stories of students, especially students whose voices who are traditionally not heard, that they've got a chance to be able to share their story, and for educators to be able to learn. And we've heard this work described by educators as sort of a gut punch, because these are their students. This is that kid who was in second hour, who's giving you kind of some tough love as they are, speaking about the about their experience, which you may have never had an idea about their story. And what we have seen and what we've heard from educators has been really powerful and moving. And we believe we're on the right track with doing this work.
Well, I'll tell you, usually when I do these shows, I put a couple post-it notes in front of me so that I can write stuff down while you're talking, so you don't hear me, so you don't hear me typing into my computer. But I just put 6 out, and they're covered already just from the first, 8 minutes of us chatting. This is important. This is important work. I'm in Texas, and it's not hidden that Texas has been in the news a lot recently for this exact talk, or for books, or for critical race theory, or for anything. I mean, Texas is a hotbed for this stuff right now. And I told you before we started, I think this is something that every school in Texas should look at and just consider, because if we are doing work in schools, the reason we're doing it is for students. And if we are doing that to put students first, this is a no-brainer. Hear from the students. How can we make this better for them? I don't understand how that can be. People can stand up against it and argue it people can argue anything, but I want to go back to something you said early and, you know, using student voice to transfer adult mindsets. That's powerful in itself right there. But the more important thing I think you've said was the relationships. You know, you aren't your crew that you're bringing in to talk to these students. You aren't their teachers. You aren't their parents. You are, you know, you're a group coming in. How do you build that trust with those students to get them to open up and tell the stories that, you know, some of them are scared to tell, some of them are embarrassed to tell? I mean, that's a huge step of building the relationship, not just in the classroom between teacher and student, but for your group to come in and for you guys to put together this powerful PD that you're working on. How do you build that trust to get those students to tell you those stories?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. That's something that we've worked a long time on. And I was honestly a little skeptical when we started this work of like, how much are students really going to open up to these people that they barely know? But we have found that they do. And perhaps, I mean, we've had students share with us that they things that they've never shared with anybody else in school before. And we've heard from teachers too, who are like, I've known this kid for, you know, 4 years since they've been in high school. And I like, they've never said anything to me about this. And how did you get them to open up? And how did you get them to share? And it is relationship. And so we start off and we meet with the students before, you know, there's any cameras, typically a few weeks before we interview. And we lay the groundwork and the foundation. We let them know who we are, what this is about, and why this is important work. And we don't necessarily give them the questions, but maybe just some of the themes that we might be asking them about so they can start to wrap their head around that. And then we also tell them that through this process, they get final edit. And the worst thing that could happen with one of these student voice videos is that you interview the students, you show it to staff, and then students somehow hear things or see it later. And then they're like, that's not what I meant to say. Or you edited my words in a way that's not representative of what I was trying to talk about. So we let the students who are part of the project see the video too before the staff gets to see it. And I think that's an important piece in terms of building trust as students knowing that they're going to see things. And that's, I think that is one of the gaps many times with student voice, because students fill out surveys, they're part of focus groups, they do things like this, and then they never truly know the impact that they're making, because as adults, we don't close that feedback loop. They don't see the meetings taking place behind the scenes in terms of, you know, what we may be looking at for policy changes or how we're going to be, a school might be working on DEI initiatives. They're many times not privy to that information. And when we can include them in that process, when they're able to approve the video, and then one of the last pieces that we do with this is we bring adults who are impacted by what the students had to say, and then we bring the students who are part of the project together for the students to be able to hear firsthand what their words and what their stories have done to change adult behaviors. And last year we worked in a school district and we heard that afterwards that their discipline referrals increased over 3 times in the second semester versus the first semester, because the adults heard from the students and the impact that racial slurs and different things that were taking place that staff was sort of turning a blind eye to. And they may have heard some of those things in the hallway or in the back of the classroom, but made that decision to not step in and intervene and be a leader. And then when they heard the impact and the negative things that were happening to students because of some of the other things that students were saying, they stood up and they took action. And they were helping to change that culture within the school by having higher expectations and higher standards.
Justin and I are so excited to welcome back Class Intercom as our sponsor for Season 3 of School PR Happy Hour. Last year, we told you that Class Intercom is a comprehensive social media management tool designed specifically for schools that allows for content creation from an unlimited number of users, including students, in a safe and carefully moderated way. That's true, but did you know that Class Intercom also has a reporting feature and does complete archiving, all for one school-friendly price? To learn more, head to classintercom.com and get started today.
Surveys. School PR is known for surveys and known for interviews and things like that. But how many times, a little convicted there, how many times have I gone back to the people that I've done videos about and said, hey, here's the video I'm going to release. Is this what you meant? Like, is this what your story was? Did I do you good here? Did I do right? So this is more than just a, you know, PD for your teachers to kind of learn what's going on in the hallways and in their classrooms and how their students are feeling. This is really empowering students. Because the students are telling a story and then seeing their story and then immediately getting the feedback. That's a huge, the feedback loop is a big thing that I've really been thinking about a lot lately with on this topic in general, because we do all these things, but do we go back and make sure they know, hey, this was the right thing. You did the right thing. You're empowering students to hear the change they're making. And all that's doing is building confidence to them, for them to stand up and do it more and speak their voice and let their concerns be heard more. And I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
And how long have we as adults tried to figure out all like some really difficult things? How do we achieve, how do we close the achievement or opportunity gap? How do we make, how do we close the gap in the disproportionate suspension rates in many schools? And I believe that students are part of that equation, that as adults, we can't do this all by ourselves. And obviously we can't expect students to figure this out on, you know, for themselves. But I think by partnering with students and giving them an authentic opportunity, because I think sometimes student voice is sort of like window dressing, where there are some schools that have a student representative on, like on the board. And some schools do a great job with that. Others, I feel like it's more kind of a PR thing where it sounds good and it looks good that if you've got a student in this committee or helping with that,
it checks the box.
But this like authentic student voice, when, I mean, look in the business world and any type of consumer research, who are you going to? Your consumers, the people that are interacting with your product. And in education, we have failed to bring students who are the consumers receiving what we're giving, you know, in terms of an education to the table to meaningfully give feedback. And it's one thing to get the feedback. It's another thing to actually do something. And I think that's another fault of many schools is that they may ask for feedback, but then, you know, what are they actually changing? Because what's best for students may not be what's best for adults. And that's in many places a tough pill to swallow.
I'm gonna hit you with a Brené Brown move right here, and I'm gonna ask you to say that one more time. The line there about what's good for students. Say that one more time for me.
Yeah, many times what's best for students isn't what's best for adults, and that could be there could be union issues that could come up where there are major changes, transformative changes that need to happen. But for whatever reason, they can't happen because there's barriers in place. And there's adults who are protecting what they want to protect. Maybe it's their job. Maybe it's school hours and, homework help times and different things, grading policies. Things that, you know, may take more time to grade or more work to do or more training, that may not be the best thing for kids, but it's the best for adults. And I think that's what we're hoping to help change. And many times when you hear it from the students, and it's many, I give the example of when my kids tell me that, Dad, you're on your cell phone too much, versus when my wife tells me the exact same thing. Like, they're telling me the same words, Dad, get off your phone. But the way that hits me emotionally is much different. And when students share some of these things that many times are inequitable in our schools, it comes across different when you're hearing it from them versus when you're hearing it from maybe an administrator who's trying to deliver that same message.
I've been waiting all season to do that with the Brené Brown move. I've been real heavy in Brené Brown this year. So thank you. As soon as you said, I wrote down, Brené Brown. Okay. So yeah, I think that everything you just said is spot on to, I've seen here in Texas, all over the country. I mean, I try not to watch news as much anymore just because it's what it is. But I mean, I am trying to raise, and I'll use my kid, you just use your kids as an example. I'm trying to raise a kid that stands up for what she doesn't believe is right. And that is insanely scary for an 8-year-old to do. But when she comes home and says, hey, I'm a little worried about a friend who told me that breakfast and lunch at school was the only meal we're going to get until Monday. Dad, how do I fix that? And I said, baby girl, I don't know how you fix that, but here's what we can do to help. And here's what, and luckily they live right around the corner. And, you know, we invited them to dinner and something to that effect. And just little things like that. Like she feels like hard, like almost too hard. Like it could be like, hey, I've lost a stuffed animal. We are done for 8 hours. Like she just feels everything. And it's just, I can't, like you said, my wife can tell me something, but if she looks at me and says it, the same words coming from a student, it breaks me. I've talked about it on the show before. My father passed away a couple years ago. My daughter is not dealing with it very well right now. She's out of nowhere, just really misses my dad. And just, I miss him too. But then when she looks at me and says, dad, no, I miss him. And I'm like, oh my, like, it hits me hard. And we got to figure something out. So yeah. Hearing testimonies from kids, I've heard them for 3 years now. It hurts. And I think that is what we talked about in the pre-show. I wear some of this stuff that we've dealt with at work or in just Texas in general. And it comes home with me. And then my 8-year-old looks at me and says, dad, you're stressed. You're tired. And I'm like, I'm getting it from all areas. What do I do? But I just applaud. I think we could do probably 3 shows on this topic, honestly, and just keep going. But I applaud this work because this is important. And I don't see, I've been all about student voice and having them tell their story since I was a teacher. But even more now than ever, we need to raise a generation of kids who stand up for what's right. And I think this is a start, and this is a great piece that y'all are putting together, and I applaud it. And I just, I love it. So awesome work.
Yeah, I think this work really kind of stays above, call it the fray of all the other stuff. I mean, you mentioned CRT, and there's a lot of stuff out there that critics of this work will, sink their fangs into. But this student voice work, I don't know how anybody can say that they don't want to do what's best for kids, or they don't want to listen to student voices and what they have to say. And I think this work really, it puts a different lens and a different angle on this. And it allows you to do work and to have conversations in your district that might be really difficult or controversial. But when you can bring it back to student voice and say, like, this is what our students are telling us, and this is what we need to be looking at, considering in terms of policy changes, or different, how we build relationships and what that looks like in our district. And it's hard to argue against what the students are sharing, and it's hard to argue against their truths and what it is that they've experienced. And I don't think we really give students enough credit. And for seniors in high school, many of them have been doing research, quote unquote, over the last 13 years that they've been in the school system. And they've got a lot to share. They've got a lot of insights, and they've got a lot of things that as adults, if we truly do listen, there's lots of things that I think we can change and we can do better to create schools that are more equitable, more safe and welcoming, and help teachers and other educators and buildings build stronger relationships with their students.
Well, just know you have a fan of the Voices framework and me. I know Aaron feels the same way. But if there's somebody listening right now that wants to learn more about this framework and kind of how they can work with you on it, if this is something that they're like, man, we need this here, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, you can go to our website. If you go to captivatemedia.us/voices, you can check out some more information there. And then my contact information is on there as well. There are some videos that I can share during a phone call. There are videos that we don't put out on the internet intentionally because these are students and their stories and what they share are very personal. And there are some students who we have permission to be able to share in smaller groups as we're talking with people, some of the work that we've done that I would love the opportunity for anybody who's interested to be able to dive into this because it's work that I'm really passionate about. And I believe it's work that pretty much any school, I mean, whether it's around diversity, equity, and inclusion, we worked with a school around relevancy, and that was really cool because they did a survey and 54% of students thought what they were learning was relevant and 91% of staff thought what they were teaching was relevant. So you've got this perception gap between what the adults think and what the students think. And like this building principal could have said, all right, teachers, we've got an issue here. There's a big gap between what the students think is relevant and what you think is relevant. We need to change that. And of course, everybody's going to point their fingers and say, well, it's this department or that department. Like what I'm teaching is super relevant. But when these students, I mean, they were basically throwing darts and saying like Pythagorean theorem, like when am I going to be able to use that after high school, or iambic pentameter? Not sure how I'm going to, you know, apply that for my post-secondary career. And it was really, really powerful and really moving. And again, using student voice in a different type of way on a different topic. But I think for anything that schools are looking to move the needle on and they need a little help getting there, leveraging student voice for the right reasons and using their authentic stories can be really powerful.
Well, I'm going to throw a random question that we didn't talk about to you real quick based on what you just said. So get ready. if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, man, we just need to start listening to students, like doing something in this area. If you could give one tip of like, hey, Monday, when we get back from this break, Monday, here's something you can start doing the first day back to really start working towards this type of work. What advice would you give somebody?
Well, I mean, I'd say relationships, and I would say, really, I mean, I guess thinking about the long haul and the long game, and if people don't do this with fidelity, I think it has the potential to create more division between students and adults in the school. That if the questions aren't asked in the right way, if the video's not edited in the right way, if you're trying to do this on your own, that has the it has the possibility to take away some of that trust that's been built up. So I would say talk to some of the students, and yes, the students that are you think may typically want to be a part of this, but as we're working with schools as they're selecting students, I think another piece for this is talking to those students who you're really curious about.
Right.
And you want to try and like know their story. The student who may have their hoodie up and their AirPods in and think that like they're not paying attention. And what we've heard from many students is that, you know, that's more or less the thick candy shell on the outside. But on the inside, once you get to know them, their story, there's a lot to offer. And I think trying to find those students that you get curious, I guess. Yeah. Maybe,
I mean, if you ask, if you ask
a
principal
to answer that,
if you go and ask a principal, hey, I need three students for a video, you're gonna get the same three kids you get all the time.
Yep.
It's looking past that, you know, student body president and the kid who makes good grades, and it is fine. And like you said, the guy with the hood on with the AirPods in who doesn't talk to anybody, but he's got a story. She's got a story. It's just as important as anybody else. They have experiences that are crucial to this project and crucial to the, you know, getting it right. So again, I love this. This is a thing I am passionate about, and hearing, you know, and just we've been in it for a while here in a more of a negative way. So just hearing that it's working for some people is great. And just hoping that more people are open to it. So if our listeners want to connect with you directly, personally, just to say hi, what's the best way to do that on Twitter or whatever social media platforms you're using?
Yeah, Twitter is a great place to get in touch with me. I am at _ Jake Sturgis is my Twitter handle. Otherwise, email Jake at captivatemedia.us. Either way is a great way to reach out.
Well, Jake, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having this conversation and just, you know, boosting my mood a little bit at the end of it, as the end of this week, as I know I'm going back to work next week. And we appreciate the work that Captivate Media is doing. We appreciate the work you're doing. We appreciate the, you know, the encouragement and the energy you bring to school PR. And just thanks for being on our show this week.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Justin.
Well, there you have it. The final episode of School PR Happy Hour for 2021. I hope you enjoyed this conversation, and I hope it made you think a little bit about this very important topic. Thanks again to Jake for taking time out during his holiday break to jump on and talk to me today, and also for doing this important work. Reminder, the show will be back after a break over the holiday season, so look for Aaron on January 15th. Happy holidays and happy New Year, School PR. Until next time, let's try to be a little bit better at our jobs every day.